Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
Welcome to Talk Heathen. Today is Sunday, the January of the 15th of 2023, which is the future. Welcome to the future. Very exciting if you're watching this in even more of the future. Today, I am Katie Montgomery, and I am joined by student Dr. Ben, but his soon to not be student Dr. Ben, because he is about to evolve like a Pokemon. In how many days now, Ben?
Into a 96 real days until Dr. Ben. Moving
Amazing.
Up in the world.
Are you excited to be Dr. Ben?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very scared because I can only imagine my first day as a real doctor is going to be terrifying. But I'm very excited. It is confirmed I am going into family medicine. So I'm very, very excited to be a trans healthcare provider to people in the community. So
Ben is going to trans your children, and we're not going to reveal which community. So it could be any community in the entire of the USA. No one is safe. So if you would like to call in about that and tell Ben why atheists have no morals and they shouldn't be LGBTing up our kids, then this is the right place to be, because Talk Heathen is a call-in show and we have open lines. We do have some callers already, which is exciting, but we still have some space. So if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. We do prioritize theists and believers of the supernatural. So we'd love to hear from you. You can call in at 512-991-9242, or you can do it for free on your computer at tiny.cc/callt8. So yeah, we're ready to take your calls. I think what was the thing you wanted to do about atheist morals, something like that?
Oh yeah, for the chat poll, this was a conversation I had recently with a group of atheists and theists together, but talking about charity and is it ethical for an organization to use charity as a tool to spread their religion. So an example would be mission trips, someone going to another country or even another area of your own country and performing community service, like providing medical care or doing a humanitarian project with the goal of spreading the religion. And I have my own opinions about this, but I'm curious about people in the audience and if they have any thoughts about whether it's okay to do that because it's a greater, like you're still doing good for the community, or if it's a problem because of the underlying goal. Yeah. But do you have any thoughts about it?
And this also would be interesting if anyone wants to also take into account there's kind of a difference between maybe when it's on a small scale or it's like you're a religion, maybe in a country where there's a different religion majority or something like that, versus what has maybe historically happened with colonialism, where the church maybe has like an iron grip on all the resources in the whole community. Anyway, interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. But before we get on to callers, Talk Heathen is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, ACA, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we are dedicated to four pretty cool things: atheism, obviously, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government, which is really important. I mean, I guess in case you end up in a situation where some charity people come and try and make all the rules in your country, if, you know, you won't get the charity if you don't bend to their will. But you can support Talk Heathen, which is obviously the best show on YouTube and the best show on this channel. And support the ACA. If you go to tiny.cc/patreonth, then you will see our Patreon, which has loads of like cool extra stuff and etc. Patreon's a good place. I'm sure you know about it. Definitely go there. It's cool. You can also, if you're feeling lazy, the easiest thing you can do is just move your mouse over to the like button on this YouTube video and do a click, and that will make things much better for everyone involved. You can also subscribe to the channel. You could also turn on notifications. You could also write a comment below about why I am the best host today, or probably should be the real person who's evolved into a doctor, even though I've never studied it. You know, you could just write that as a comment if you dared, if you had the guts. But yeah, you could also become a channel member. If you click join, then you get custom chat emotes. You help perpetuate our mission of Talk Heathen and the Atheist Community of Austin. You get all kinds of cool stuff, so that's great. And just below that, below the live chat, we have a fundraiser, and 100% of the proceeds go to directly to the ACA. YouTube doesn't take a cut, and that's the best way to help us. So now you've done some help and you've clicked like, now maybe some time to take some callers, because we've got several queued up. So let's do that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to, hopefully, a theist in New York, Bernard, and wants to talk about proof of God in the Old Testament. Is that right? Bernard, go for it.
Yes, Bernard, right?
Yes.
Am I on now?
Hello, yep, you're on
the show.
I'm a Orthodox Jew, not Christian at all. I don't believe in Christianity, obviously, but I do believe in the Old Testament. And even though Christians also believe the Old Testament is true, and even Muslims think it's true, but I do it from a Jewish perspective. Now, my proof, you want to get to the proof?
The Old Testament,
first of all, when you talk about evidence, we're talking about the most rational possibility, not sometimes. I mean, even evolution can't be proven completely, but they say it's the most rational way to go. I don't agree with that, but that's beside the point. But I have evidence, meaning the rational. I can't show you God in a picture. I'm just proving that he must exist through this proof that I'm going to tell you now. And it's by this. The Old Testament was accepted. That we know because we have it now in our hands. Somebody accepted it. It was accepted at one time. And the question is, who accepted? And before we go into who accepted it, we have to say that there are two possibilities for the Old Testament. Either it was written by a person, not God-inspired. People of one person or people, a group of people decided to write a book story and it never really happened. Or it's a true story and it's written by God and it's true. So that's the two possibilities.
I don't know if I... So I want to ask you some questions before we even move forward on this, because does having people accept a text make it true?
Or is that evidence at all?
I'm getting to that. I understand that. Of course not. People accept the New Testament doesn't prove anything. I agree with you. No.
I want to ask though as well, because we've now also set up a dichotomy between, so we have the Old Testament. Like, I agree with you that we have copies of the Old Testament. We know that somebody wrote this text. And I don't necessarily accept that the only two options, though, are either God wrote it and it's true, or a man wrote it, or a person wrote it and it's false. Like, could a person write something that is partially true but partially false?
Also, could a God write something that's false?
Not completely true. All right, fine. That's fine. Okay.
It could also be that God is lying, right? Like, a God could have written it, but it could just be there a different God,
That's not rational to say that God would lie. Why should God lie?
It's just a possibility, isn't it? It's one of the options.
Why is it not a rational possibility?
I want you to answer her question.
This is one of your premises.
Because God, if God is what we think God is, then he is perfect. He doesn't have to lie. He knows.
Okay, but here, let me. So hold on. Do you believe that God is something that you created? Like, is your, do you know everything about this God?
I don't know everything about this God. Nobody knows everything about the God.
Okay. Okay. So could God do something that you don't know about?
Or don't understand.
Of course he could do something I don't know about. That's
so then why do you think that your perception of what God is entirely what God is? If God wanted to lie to you, he has ways. Clearly, we see that if this God exists, he has ways to not let you know about what he's doing. So if God actually wanted to mislead you and not tell you about it, within your own definition of God, he would be able to do that.
It might not even be for a bad reason. It might lie for a good reason. You know, potentially, God's got a grander plan that you don't understand, I don't understand. And he's like, the best way to enact the greatest good is if I make up everything in the Old Testament and I just lie about it. Like, that's possible, isn't it?
Can I continue with my poop and then I think we'll get
to... No, we want you to answer our question first.
I think you could just accept that.
Well, here's the thing.
The reason why we're asking you these questions is because you've set up premises for an argument. And if we don't agree with the premises, then your conclusion isn't going to mean a whole lot to us because we already reject the premises, right? So we need to make sure we're on the same page before we even get to the conclusion of the argument, right?
I hear you. All I said, but there were two possibilities. You said it might be three possibilities, half true. But basically, either somebody wrote it or God inspired to have it written. Obviously, Moses wrote it according to the Old Testament, but he wrote what God told him to write. He didn't make it up himself. That's the premise.
Okay, so now you have the burden to prove why you believe God wrote this. So how do we know that God told Moses to write this?
Okay, go for it, man.
Go for it.
You're not letting me prove it. Let me say what I have to say, and then you'll decide.
Okay,
So anyway, so God wrote all this stuff, and it says in the Old Testament that the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, and they were there, and then they miraculously took them out with the 10 plagues, and when they got out, and they went, and they reached the Red Sea, and the Red Sea split for them. All these miraculous things that happened to them, and they crossed the Red Sea, and when the Egyptians tried to follow them, the Red Sea...
Hold on. Do you believe that story is true? Do you believe all of that actually happened?
Well, I'm getting to...
No. Okay. I'll let you finish, but you need to get, can you get to the point a little bit quicker so we can have a discussion with you? Like, I'm not really interested in just listening to the story. I want to talk about why you believe this is true.
I'm willing to discuss whatever you want. Just let me finish first, and then you'll see the discussion will be much more. Please, it's not that, it'll take another 2 minutes, okay?
I don't know if we have another 2 minutes for you to tell your story. I want to ask, do you... Do you believe that the Jews were slaves in Egypt and that all of those plagues happened and then they parted the Red Sea and left? Do you believe that happened?
Yes.
Okay, we do not have evidence. We do not have evidence that is true.
I'm getting to the evidence.
No.
You're not letting me. I'm getting to the evidence.
I'm telling you that if you read the text and you look at the historical evidence, we do not have historical evidence that many Jews lived in Egypt during that time and escaped. We would have records of this. We see records from smaller civilizations.
I understand. Yeah. Whatever you're saying, I understand that. Let's just listen to my thing, and then you'll see what I mean. And they got
I'll give you 10 seconds. I'll give you 10 seconds to deliver it.
There was a revelation at Mount Sinai, according to the Bible. A revelation was 600,000 Jews from the age of 20 to 60 were there, plus all the women, children, and older men. It comes out to around 3 million. You can't give the exact number. Were there at the revelation, and God said to them, they heard God say, I am the Lord your God, took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery, right? All that he said. to these people. And according to this Old Testament, these are the people that accepted the book.
Okay, so how is that evidence? How is that evidence? That's all hearsay. We don't even know any of that happened. No, we don't even know any of that happened.
We have a situation where the book is the evidence. Like the only evidence we have of that happening is in the Bible. And you're saying the reason the Bible's true is because of this thing in the Bible or the Old Testament.
My question to you is, if it did not happen, who accepted this book? It doesn't make any sense to accept the book.
Could somebody write a book and then give it to... No, hold on. Listen to me. Could people write a book and then convince their people that their book was correct and then that society accepts it?
It's not society. It's the people that it happened to. That's the book says it's the ones that...
That's what they say. But so, Bernard, think about history for a second. So throughout the history of the entire world, almost all of them have had a religion that they've used to further political and military agendas. And that's where a lot of this comes from. You had a leader, like a king or somebody, that said, I want to go to war with this other city-state because I want their land, but I can't convince my own people to go fight this other city-state and die in war just because I have a political agenda. So I'm going to tell them that this God told me, he gave me a divine revelation that you need to go and die in war so that we can be glorified as a civilization because we're the chosen one. And that's why we're going to go fight. That's a way more compelling argument for a lot of people to go to war than, oh yeah, I want what they have. So I need you to go kill them for me. And I need you to risk your life. I need you to leave your family. So people have been doing this ever since the founding of the first pantheons in ancient civilization. So like if you, even taking the story that you're saying, like you're saying that somebody accepted this book to be true, and then that's why all this is true. What do you make of other civilizations? Like take the Indus Valley civilizations or even ancient Chinese civilizations. They had their own book and they accepted them. Should that be grounds to then also become a Hindu and accept?
No, you're missing the point. You're missing the point I'm trying to make. I'll give you an example. If I would write your own autobiography of your life, and I would write a story. You were born in Australia, and you went to this school, and you went. I mean, I'll make up a whole story about it. Would you accept that as your biography? No, because you know it's not true. You know.
But if you wrote, hang on, Bernard. If you wrote in it, if you wrote in Ben's biography, and Ben accepted this book, and then 2,000 years later, no one who had met Ben was still alive, but they've still got your book. They'd be like, oh, this book says Ben accepted it. Like, why else would he accept it if it wasn't true?
That's true. When you're talking about one person, So
well, you could write in there that everyone accepted it.
I understand that.
You could write in there like 100 people accepted it.
There was about 3 million people that accepted this book that said it.
Yeah, but have you met any of them? Bernard?
You might know how many people accepted the Bhagavad Gita.
How do you know?
Like, the only there's. Do you know how many people accepted the Quran?
Hang on, Bernard, because you're saying you know that 3 million people accepted this book, but the only reason you know that is because it says it in the book. Like, there's not video evidence of them accepting it. You haven't met them. There's not another account, you know, or hundreds of other accounts or whatever, you know, other corroborating piece of evidence. It's the book says these people accepted it. Like, your example then with Ben's biography and then Ben accepting it as true, you say, oh, well, that's only one person. What if you wrote the history of the UK and you just wrote it totally wrong, and then you said, and all the people of the UK accepted it, and then in 3,000 years' time, we're all dead and the UK doesn't exist anymore, and they're like, oh, look, 66 million people accepted this book. Like, that's the equivalent of this situation, isn't it? What's the difference? It wouldn't be rational, but that doesn't stop you from doing it.
I'm saying that those are the people that accepted the book. The ones that it happened to are the ones that accepted the book. Now, I'm asking you.
And how do you know that?
They accept the book if they know it didn't happen?
I don't believe they accepted it.
Whoever accepted the book to begin with, would they accept it differently than it says in the book that they accepted it? That's completely a lie? In other words...
Yeah.
Yeah, they just can make it do up. That. The book will just make it up. Why wouldn't they just make it up?
Who
I don't.
Somebody
wrote the book.
Who accepted it? Who accepted it?
People, humans.
When some people accept it today, like when someone turns up, you know, a Christian turns up in your school when you're a kid, and you're like, oh look, here's the Bible, here's the, you know, whatever holy book. And then you accept it, like you accept because you're taught it and you don't know anyone who's written the book and you're just told all these other people have accepted it. And you just kind of,
but the book,
like, it's the same thing. The first person who was ever shown this book and converted to this religion.
The book itself says how it was accepted.
Yeah, but you could just write anything in it.
This is
like, surely you must understand. Bernard, come on.
Do you know what circular reasoning is? Because that's what this is. So you have an argument and then you give your evidence and it all just goes in a circle. So your evidence points to the claim, and then it's like, because you're saying that the book is true, because the book says it's true.
The book says that
it's all going in a circle, right?
Didn't believe that it happened, or didn't believe, some believe or didn't believe. It says that they were the ones that it happened to. They saw that they were the ones that it happened to. It's not that I'm believing a story.
So you need to. So you need to prove this.
Can I try this step by step thing? If I wrote in a book that like the 1 million people, oh no, let me just say the UK. If I wrote in a book today and said everyone in the UK jumped 3 meters high because of the power of God, and then I said everyone accepted it, like, do you agree that I could do that?
Say that again. I understand what happened. What did you do?
If I was writing a book and I said everyone alive in the UK jumped 3 meters high into the air because of the power of God, I could write that in a book, correct? Step one.
Right.
Then I could say underneath, everyone in the UK believes this book is true and they have accepted it. Do you agree that I could write that?
You could write that, but who actually accepted it?
And then if I gave it to someone in another culture who's never been to the UK, never met a UK person, and I said, here is the evidence, you know, to an Australian man, I could say, here is the evidence that everyone in the UK jumped 3 meters high, and I can show you that because they accepted evidence. It. Like, who else accepted it?
Not those people.
It's all those people.
Not those people that you're talking about. You're talking
Bernard,
have you ever exaggerated something that has happened in your life? Like, have you told your friends a story about something that's happened that maybe you've exaggerated so you sound a little bit cooler?
If I exaggerate a story about myself, of course the other person has to believe me or not believe.
Yeah. So do you think people might exaggerate themselves, especially in a book? Do you think that ancient people might exaggerate things in their story to make their society seem better than it was?
Well, it's not a question, but the book has to be accepted first. How's it going to be accepted by people that know it's not true?
Have to be accepted before you write it. I think we're going in circles. Yeah.
I can't exaggerate about you and make you believe it. You know if it happened or not. If I'm telling you,
but you could write in a book that I believed it. Bernard, you could just say, I told Katie that she had 3 eyes and she believed it. You could write that in a book, couldn't you?
And some people do write things that are exaggerated and people just go along with it because that's their culture at the time. Like, we see this with like the god kings of ancient Mesopotamia and ancient Egypt. Like, they believed their pharaoh. They believed their pharaoh was the god king, and I don't know how to what extent they've convinced themselves that was true, but they convinced at least the rest of their society that the pharaoh was a deity, and that was written throughout their history. So they can exaggerate things that they experienced. Like, I'm sure the people around that king were part of this. They were part of this. Like, they had scribes that would write down this history that would include the pharaoh being the incarnation of Horus. But do you think that they actually, like, that actually happened just because they wrote that? I don't know how productive this discussion is getting, because we keep bringing up more and more examples about why people can exaggerate.
Of course you can exaggerate, but I'm saying they wrote things about the people, about the people themselves that accepted the book. It happened to them. They know if it happened to them or not. It's not a question of belief. Either it happened or it didn't happen to them. They know if it happened. I can't exaggerate a story about you. I can't say this happened to you when you know it didn't happen. It's ridiculous. I can exaggerate about myself. And maybe you believe it, you won't believe it. That's something else. I can exaggerate. But to exaggerate about you, that this happened to you, and convince you that it happened to you, that's ridiculous. Especially when we're talking about 3 million people. We're not talking about one person.
But Bernard, the 3 million people...
never happened to anybody.
If you were trying to convince me of an exaggeration about me, if you were trying to say Katie is 10 feet tall and you tried to convince me, that wouldn't work because I am the person who you're making the claim about.
Exactly.
And we have evidence exactly. right in front of me. Yeah, because I am here
exactly.
today.
Exactly.
Yeah, but none of these 3 million people are alive today. So the only evidence we have that they agreed with the claim
that
is that it's written rational. In the book.
It's not rational that the book was accepted in a way that
those 3 million people be totally made up. They might be totally made, like,
what?
Do you know those 3 million people definitely lived?
You mean definitely lived? It says, you mean definitely, who accepted the book? It says that 3 million people accepted the book.
So here's something. I think there's I think you need to take a step back and evaluate what it means for something to be rational, because I think you're trying to use rational as a way to say this is just common sense that you would intuit that this doesn't make sense to me. And that's not, you can't equivocate common sense with this definition of rationality that you're trying to say that this can prove a claim. So I think you need to reevaluate your argument and determine, would this actually convince somebody? And even put yourself in the shoes of somebody looking at a completely different culture. Look at Hindu religion. Apply your argument and see if you can use that same argument to prove that Hinduism is true. Because I think you can reach any religion with the claims that you're making. So definitely,
no,
like, call back in.
As this part. No, we've talked part where it's talking about the people that the people that accepted it were the people that it happened to.
I think you need to read about more religions. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to read some history, read some religion, and then call back next time. And we'll see if the argument changes at all, or if you have maybe a better case in support of.
Thanks for calling, Bernard. I suspect that every single religion has a claim, like millions of people saw the Holy One do a thing, and therefore it's fine. Our religion is true. I'd be surprised if there was a single religion on Earth that didn't have that. Anyway, that was a good start. That was a good start.
Yeah.
But yeah, so maybe if you like what you're hearing, or if you want to scream, in fact, especially if you want to scream, then maybe you want to do some retail therapy and go on Amazon. And if you do spend money on Amazon, you can set the ACA at no cost to you to be like a special charity thing that Amazon will then donate money to. So if you go to tiny.cc/AmazonSmileCA, Amazon Smile, ACA, sorry. And then you can just pick the ACA in the list of charities, and then a portion of the profits that Amazon would make come to us, which is great. And if you like other kinds of shopping, maybe rather than buying something from Amazon, you could buy something directly from our merch store and get some really cool Talk Heathen merch. We have merch. We've got loads of stuff like t-shirts, hoodies, mugs. There's a limited edition t-shirt, which if you like the look of, you have to get it soon because otherwise it will be gone. So for that, you can go to tiny.cc/merch ACA. We've got loads of cool stuff there. But yeah, there's lots of cool things you can buy to make you feel less like screaming when someone does a circular argument loads and loads. But if you'd like to listen to circular arguments more, we have all of the shows in podcast form. So you can go to tiny.cc/AENpodcast, and that has all the different shows and the best one, Talk Heathen, for you to listen to you and not have to look at our faces or look at me in a jungle with a slightly see-through, well, not see-through t-shirt, but a green t-shirt. You can become, if you would like, part of the Talk Heathen community at the Facebook page, the fan-run Facebook page, tiny.cc/FBTHG, and come and hang out, you know, be part of the community or come and do some arguments, you know, fun place to be. Facebook is notorious for having the best discussions and arguments on the internet. Very fun place. And also now, join the modern age, Talk Heathen has a TikTok. So why don't you come and hang out on TikTok, and you can subscribe there. I don't think we have a tiny.cc link for that. Just search us out on TikTok and see all our atheist videos there. But yeah, let's move on.
Before we move on to the next call, I just wanted to say, because I know I am already the holy trinity of Talk Heathen and of the ACA. We have Trans Jesus, Taco Heathen, and the Crab Rangoon King. I accept all three of those. But I can go one step further than the Trinity of Christianity, because they only have three gods in one. I'm actually four, because I'm also the God King of the ACA. So I'm just adding a fourth thing on. So do with that what you will, but I have Jesus beat. Just
yeah, well, there you go. I would just like to state my position on the monarchy is abolish, at the very least, for God kings included, all in general, pro-democracy of the ACA. Anyway.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
let's move on to our next caller, who is Malachi in Arkansas. Sorry if I said your name wrong. You think that the atheist community is religious in its own way. What's your reasoning for that?
Yes. I used to listen to Talk Heathen and, well, mainly Matt Dillahunty, but I'm agnostic. I'm not really theist, but I don't really watch it anymore just because of that reason of, well, A, I just kind of got bored with the content, and B, it just kind of seemed to me that just the way that everybody, like, carried themselves, that it just kind of seemed like religious in its own way, like religious in the way that it's anti-religious. Like, I don't really care either way. I'm kind of a fence sitter, but, you know, and I heard an earlier bit on the stream, and I heard that one of y'all is getting your doctorate. I don't know which one, first trans something.
Oh, it says God King now. It said doctor.
Yeah, I just wanted to put my stance on that, that I think that involving children in that is totally immoral and wrong, but if it's an adult...
Oh, okay, hang on a sec. I'm happy to do either of these topics, but let's do one and the other, because otherwise we'll spiral off into something. Let's do your first discussion, and then we can, because I feel like...
Next time we can talk about trans
or
kids.
Maybe even this time, because I feel like maybe. I was just prepared to reach out to you on this first one, and I'm less incentivized now. But I think, and I don't want to straw man your position here. I don't feel like you're calling in to make a strong argument straight up, you know, to be confrontational. And that part, perhaps on the second part, you are. But I think sometimes, and you know, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but sometimes when people say, "Oh, I think the atheist community is religious," they don't mean this as in some kind of definition of religion where there's a worship and, you know, there are ceremonies and we go to the Google definition of what a religion is and argue about whether it specifically fits. What they really mean is there's this kind of almost like zealousness, or people have very strong opinions and they argue it very much, and it's their entire worldview and they want to push it onto other people, and it matters a lot to them. Is that the kind of thing you mean when you say it's a religion, or are you making the claim that we have some supernatural beliefs or some ceremonies that we take part in?
No, the latter. But yeah. Also in the way of the the politics of it, where, yes, I agree that that Christianity does have its say in politics. So I don't know why abortion is like Christian majority, you know, they say no, or because the Bible, you know, doesn't really say anything about that, really. But
so on
the atheist community, I was going to get to my point real quick is that the atheist community leans left just like the Christian community leans typically towards the right. And I kind of see the similarities in that too, and that kind of makes me back off as well.
So there, I agree that religion and atheism can often have political leanings. I guess on the religion part, I can empathize with this kind of, I don't see why people have like super strong views on religion. So I grew up in the UK, I live in the UK, and here religion isn't the major force. It's not something people talk about. It's not really something that religious people even talk about, you know, in public. It's not in our politics. It's not like a big argument point in the way that it is in the USA. And I grew up believing in a God, and then I got to being a teenager, and then I stopped believing in a God, and it wasn't really a big deal. Like I had a little internal struggle about it, but it's not like I had to come out to my family as an atheist. It's not like it affected my employment potential, or, you know, I didn't get bullied about it at school. It was just a thing I did and then moved on, and then I didn't really think about it. And then when I encountered, like, you know, I started off watching Atheist Experience as well, and Talk Heathen, and I was like, you know, why are these people so passionate about it? And I actually heard one atheist person say, when I came out as an atheist, and it was really difficult to me, and as an LGBT person, my reaction was like, oh, why are you saying coming out like that? That's kind of bullshit, because like coming out as LGBT is like the hardest thing I've ever done, and it's horrible, and it's like, you know, people die over this, and coming out as an atheist is nothing. Like, what you on about? But then I listened to his story, and actually it was just as difficult for him to come out as an atheist, because his entire community, his family, you know, and his children were caught up in it, and it tore his life apart. He had to move to a different state. Like, you know, it's a huge deal. It's a like a dark secret that some people have in a similar kind of way, sometimes to being LGBT. So the reason I think some people are kind of like religious about this is because they see, you know, they've lived through the situation where them coming out as an atheist has turned their whole life upside down, or in some cases even ruined their life if it's torn their family away, or, you know, people lose their lives over coming out as atheist in some countries. And when that happens, you see that, and you want to not only defend your community, but fight for the fight for people. Hang on one second.
Malachi,
let me just finish the sentence, because I'm near the end. When they do, you know, deal with all this, they're like, this was so hard for me. I don't want it to be hard for anyone else. Like, I believe in freedom of religion, and that anyone should be able to believe anything, you know, religious beliefs wise. Like, there shouldn't be a law against it. But I also think that people shouldn't be like harshly policed by society for being an atheist. I think that's garbage. And that's one of the reasons that I do this. And when I realized that it was such a big deal in so much of the world, I was like, well, I want to, you know, as an atheist who's very secure and confident, me doing this show doesn't risk anything. It doesn't, you know, I'm not going to lose my job over doing some kind of public activism that maybe some other people might. So I'm in this privileged position to do that, and maybe I can make it easier for future generations of atheists.
Malachi, can I jump in here? So I had a bad experience having...
I haven't made a counter really to what has been said, but what I would have to say is that these people that quote unquote come out as atheists, they kind of put atheism on a pedestal, like,
okay, Malachi, listen. I'm gonna jump in here, because this is my story. This is Malachi. Malachi, listen to me, Malachi. Listen to me. Yeah, no, I'm in an angry mood today, because these are people coming in and saying that my experience is invalid. And let me say, I am trans, I am bisexual, and I'm an atheist. I have multiple categories of my life where I had to come out to my family who work in religion. So my family is so deep into fundamentalist evangelical Christianity. And it came down to, like, the reason why I had to come out as an atheist, I was essentially forced into saying anything. I went a while not saying anything to my family, because I knew it was going to be a big deal. And basically what happened, this was before med school, so before I had moved out of my family's house, because living is expensive. And they essentially stage an intervention with me to say, you're going to go to church or else. And that was the conversation that was had. And so I had to say, I don't believe this. Like, this is why I'm not going to church. This is a boundary I need to set up. I can't let you manipulate me like this and make this be the reason I stay in this family. So it seems like you're putting atheism on a pedestal by coming out, but that's not the case. Some people have to set up these boundaries with their family because it is absolutely emotionally and psychologically abusive sometimes. Does that make sense to you? Like, this is a big deal for a lot of people, and everybody's experience is different, but some people have to go through this.
No, it doesn't make sense how you're comparing, like, coming out as being atheist to coming out as being gay, because atheism is not really something you have to come out as. And really,
I'm muting you. Okay, so I just told you why I had to come out, and now you're coming and saying, but I don't see why you need to come out. You should. It's not the same as coming out as gay. It's not the same. But listen, for me, coming out as atheist was worse for my family than coming out as trans. My family was more willing to keep me around being trans than being an atheist, which isn't that way for everybody, but it was for me.
I think the reason why people think these two things aren't the same is because they think, oh, you know, being gay is a sexuality, or being trans is like gender identity stuff, and you're telling someone about an inner part of you, something that you were born or something that developed in early life. And when you're an atheist, you're saying, this is my belief. And obviously, beliefs are different to a physical part of, you know, who you are and how your brain works. But the reason that LGBT people come out isn't because there's an innate property of sexuality that causes you to need to come out. It's because society assumes everyone is straight and assumes everyone is cis. And when you aren't, that is new. That's like an important thing to society for some reason that you then need to tell them. And in accepting places, when you come out, you might not even come out. Some people don't need to come out. They just, you know, bring home a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and then people make assumptions, whatever. But in a lot of places, they have to come out because if they were to just turn up with a same-sex partner, or they were to just start medically transitioning, it could be dangerous for them. There'll be loads of people who want to know, and, you know, it could cause a whole scene. And delivering that information on your own terms can make it safer, and it can make people more likely to understand it, and more people more likely to engage with you and ask questions. And it's the same for atheism. The reason why people need to come out as atheists is not because of some innate property or whatever. It's because in some cultures, people assume that you're religious, and you telling them otherwise is that's a piece of news to them. And whether, you know, sometimes that's good news or sometimes it's bad news. So I think coming out is the right expression, because if we lived in a world where no one assumed your sexuality, no one assumed whether you were trans or cis, no one assumed your religion or whatever, like, then people wouldn't care. It wouldn't be news. Everyone would be like, hey, what are you? What are you? Whatever. I don't actually need to know. I don't care. Whatever. And that's why, you know, that's would be a better world than the world we live in. That's why I think it's a good comparison. I'm just going to unmute you. It's just not letting me click it. Unmuted.
I don't know. To me, it seems like it's just more putting it on a pedestal. And for you to just, all you would have to do is just, you're trans, okay, cool. You're gay, okay, cool. But you don't have to get a megaphone and announce it to
everyone. But lots of people don't think it's cool, mate.
Nobody wants to. We don't want to. I would love to just exist as a trans person and have nobody make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
We don't want to do this.
There's some gay people out there who it would offend for you to compare coming out as atheist to coming out as gay or what. Like, there's a lot of gay people that be offended.
Malachi, are you in the LGBTQ community? Are you part of this community?
You don't have to come out to us on air.
No, you don't have to. But my point is, like, you're speaking on behalf of a community that you're not part of, and that's strawmanning somebody else's position.
Also, it doesn't really matter. It's not really relevant. It doesn't matter whether gay people are offended by it or not.
Preposterous. The idea that there's a gay community is preposterous. Just like the idea that there's a black community is preposterous. There's gay
what?
Hey, okay, hang on a second. I will explain for the quickers at home, because I don't think you'll probably listen to this explanation. But the reason why there is an LGBT community, and the reason why we have to have a megaphone and talk about it. Like, I don't talk about being trans in my personal life. When I'm meeting my friends, it's not like I'm like, hey guys, remember I'm trans? Let's talk about that. I just have a normal life like you do, like everyone else does. But in my country, and in a lot of countries in the world, including also Ben's country and your country, there are people who are trying to take away our rights for being trans people, trying to take away our freedoms, stopping us from living the same life that you do. That is just a thing. When you were just describing, you're like, oh, someone comes out as trans. Okay, cool. That's great. When people are like, okay, cool, that's a fine reaction. But lots of people, like fucking loads of people, do not have that reaction, and they have a real issue with it, and they want to ruin my life over it. So I have to stand up and say, not only do I have to say, person who is trying to ruin my life, you are wrong, fuck off. This is immoral, it's illogical, you don't have any evidence. I have to do that. But also, there's not many trans people, and there's even fewer trans people who are willing to fight for their rights, because it is very difficult, and lots of people have a lot of things going on in their life. I then have to talk to cis people and say, hey guys, just so you know, I know we live a normal life and we're just friends and whatever, you, but there is someone who's trying to ruin my life, and I need you to write to your politician over this, because if you don't, then maybe I won't have healthcare and I'll be totally fucked. So that's why I need to talk about these things. And then that is why we end up with a community. I'm not saying that, like, I am instantly friends with every trans person, or I have loads in common with every single trans, but there are people who are trans who that is the only thing we have in common. Like, I fucking hate Ben, but because we're both atheists and we're both trans, you know, we run in the same circles. I have to smile at him sometimes. And that is what the community is. It's not me being friends. It's not anything other than the fact that if they take away my rights, they're going to take away rights from every trans people in this country, you know, potentially. And so we all end up teaming up together, because that's what we have to do. And that's what we mean by the LGBT community. We're saying that the same people who want to ruin gay people's lives are the same people who want to ruin bisexual people's lives, same people who want to ruin trans people's lives, for the same overarching ideology, which is this belief that everyone has to fit into a box and follow the rules. And it is often linked to religion, not always. And this is why you have like an atheist community, is, you know, you might be the only atheist in your town. You might not have never met an atheist before other than yourself. And you could feel really alone and like, what the fuck, you know, how do I deal with this? Well, how do I tell my family? And they're like, oh, there's a really great atheist community on the internet at tiny.cc/FBTHG, where I can go and talk to other atheists, understand the issues, understand how to make arguments, understand how to fight for my rights if the government tries to come and, you know, force, you know, something upon my children or whatever for being not religious or something. And that's why we have a community. This isn't the claim. Like, there are some atheists who probably hate the atheist community. There are trans people who hate me. That's fine. There are some trans people who campaign against my rights, even though it affects them too, because they are stupid as shit. But there's, you know, maybe they don't consider themselves to be part of the community. But the community, like in quotes, is the group of people who lump together because they have a similar shared concern, who generally fight for the same things when they're not fighting each other. That's what it means.
Right. I kind of wonder if Malachi would say that, like, a workers' union is religious or like not a valid community.
Well,
it's like
the
same. It's the same kind of thing.
You're back, mate.
All right.
You still there?
The same. Yes. It's insane how we got from atheism to literally identity politics, which this is my point. If you let me finish, this is my point of how identity politics is connected itself with this atheism community. Just like you accuse the right of being entangled with Christianity, it's the same thing. In identity politics, the same thing that you're preaching has led to the deaths of millions of people.
So,
citation needed, please.
Let me just justify why this ends up. And I'm not saying it's right or left, because there are people on the right and the left who support LGBT rights and who are atheists. It's that's not what we're talking about. But what I'm saying is, the reason why we end up at something like what you're calling identity politics, I'm not saying, oh, my identity, therefore, whatever. What I'm saying is, I think everyone on earth should be free of oppression. That's not like some, it is a feminist position, but it's not just specifically a feminist position. Like, it's a libertarian position. Like, it's the opposite of authoritarianism. I think other things. I think no one should be tortured. I think no one should be tortured. I think everyone should have access to healthcare. I believe in critical thinking. I think that, you know, using science is the best way to discover, make a model of the world, to understand the world, make predictions and do engineering. Like, these are just basic premises. And if you rationally follow them through and, you know, go through with those conclusions and come to conclusions, you end up at atheism, you end up at trans rights, you end up at feminism. That this isn't some identity thing. This isn't like, oh, well, I think that the more, you know, identity issues you have, the better person you are. Oh, like, you know, oh, you're disabled and you're black and you're left-handed and you're, you know, a woman. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is everyone should have healthcare. And, oh, look, trans people don't have the same healthcare access to everyone else as everyone else do. Like, there's loads of these issues. It's not just like, you feel like you're just trying to cast it away by just saying, oh, identity politics killed millions of people. Like, what is that? That's a completely nonsense claim. When I say, hey, I think I should be able to work a job without being assaulted, that's not identity politics, basically Stalinism. That's, I should have the same rights as you. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I don't know where your conclusion has come from there.
Everything that you're saying is, whether you realize it or not, is just the same thing that's already been done, but just repackaged and reshipped as a new product. It's the same thing that's already been done in history.
What does that mean? We had civil rights.
If you look at,
like, okay, women got the vote. That was the first one.
Can I go back in history for you?
I thought you might go there.
Under Stalin, all right, am I going to be allowed to continue? In the USSR, under Stalin, all right, I'm going to continue. Under his regime, he did the exact same thing, like I said, is just a different product. He accused the lower class farmers of being a part of this, like, these descendants of these people and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, the townspeople, like, raped and killed farmers, and which basically led to the starvation of millions of people. We can also go back to China. Again, same product.
Yeah, okay, so, okay, Malachi, but what you're doing here, is you're comparing... Hang on, mate.
So there are no conservative gay people. There are no...
There are conservative gay people. So what you're doing here is you're saying, here is something that had a similar appearance, therefore they must be the same. But what I'm saying is, let's just look at a position in isolation. Like, here's a really easy one. Should gay people be allowed to get married? Obviously, yes. There's absolutely no argument why they shouldn't. You know, any two consenting adults, or maybe more, should be allowed to get married. There's absolutely no reason why we should ban just specifically gay people from doing that. That is just a position on its own. Stands in isolation. It doesn't need anything else. All we're saying is, let's look at the concept of marriage. Well, should two men be able to do it? Yes. That doesn't, just because maybe Stalin agreed with me, that doesn't mean that the claim that gay people should have the same marriage rights as straight people is suddenly, you know, genocidal authoritarianism that's going to end up in starvation of millions. Like, that's a completely nonsense claim. All of these positions are just individual positions, which are very basic and stand on their own. Like, something like, should I be allowed to have healthcare that keeps me alive and makes my life better? Yes, we don't need Stalin for that. Like, it's completely unrelated.
You're also comparing a person that took rights away from people with people that are advocating to give rights to people. So when we're saying that I advocate for gay rights and trans rights and women's rights and everybody's rights, we're not taking away anything from anybody else. We're just adding rights that other people already had. So it's not, I mean, it's maybe taking away the social acceptance of people being assholes to each other. It's making people say, hey, maybe we shouldn't oppress people like we were doing. That's all it's doing. Like, taking away your right to control other people is not a, like, that's not a right we need to uphold, and never really was a right.
And I guess the point that I would leave, I think maybe we'll wrap this call up on, is if someone was coming to, if you just pick a random thing that you do every day, if some piece of shit just came along and said, I'm going to stop you from doing that using the full force of the government, you would be allowed about it. You would make it your identity. You would find other people they're trying to do that to, and you would shout all the time with a megaphone or whatever, and you would want to tell everyone about it. And that wouldn't make you an identity politics person. That wouldn't make you Stalin. What that would mean is, if someone was like, hey, everyone called Malachi on Earth is going to be banned from the toilet starting tomorrow, or you'll get arrested and put in prison, you'll find all the other Malachis and you'll shout about this, and I'll come and defend you, because I think that's fucking bullshit, regardless of whether Stalin caused a famine or not. Anyway, thanks a lot for calling in. I do quite enjoy those calls, to be honest. Sorry if I kind of went off a bit there, Ben.
No, I did with the first caller, so we kind of had our turns to monologue a little bit.
Well, we've got a few more interesting callers to come to, hopefully. Perhaps you can go off on the next one. But before we do that, there are loads of shows run by the ACA, but you should check out the newest episode of the flagship show of the ACA, The Nonprofits, which will air live at 3 p.m. Central today. And you can go there, tiny.cc/YTNP, and you can go and check that channel out. And then when you do, when you watch it and you're like, that was really good, not only do I want to discuss the nonprofits, but I also want to come and argue about why Katie and Ben are right about whether people should be able to have human rights or not, including atheists. What, interestingly, if you're gay and you disagree that coming out of as an atheist is like vaguely politically like coming out as gay, come and discuss in the community, because it's a good place for that kind of discussion. Hang out with us. And if you want to know what's going on in the community, then you can go to www.atheist-community.org, and you can learn about our organization, how to get involved, and how to discuss with us, see all the links and stuff. And if you would like to email us, you can email at tv@atheist-community.org. Let us know. But yeah, as I was saying, we've got loads of other shows. Talk Heaven, obviously best. Nonprofits, which you're all going to go and watch in a minute or in some time, 1 hour, something. I don't know what the time is there. But we've also got Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, Atheist Experience. And if you missed out on those shows, you can watch and see what you did miss out on right now.
I think a lot of trans folks miss being invisible or less visible, or certainly not 90% of Tucker Carlson's talking point. Like, Jesus.
God, I'm just saying you shouldn't blaspheme against God, and you shouldn't be allowed to blaspheme against freedom.
Emmanuel, you know what I say to that? I say, you. I say, I will blaspheme God all the day.
Everybody thought I was a villain, but now they're seeing I was anointed by God. This is 24 hours before he got arrested.
Right. Terrible.
But the irony is thick. The irony is thick.
Hey, don't own people because that's messed up.
You know, it's a shame I don't have all of that, you know, knowledge and power and compassion that the Almighty Creator, Yahweh.
And I must say, if your belief in God is causing you to be a less shitty person, then please keep believing in him. But the point is, there's no evidence to suggest that a God is needed for us to be good people or empathetic or compassionate.
So,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you can arrange to be in the Austin area between January the 26th and the 29th, then you could come and join us in the studio and be part of the audience at the ACA 3 Free Thought Library for live broadcasts of Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, Talk Heathen, Atheist Experience. It'll be great. See the whole lot. Doors open at 6 p.m. on Thursday and Friday and noon on Sunday. Parking is anywhere you can find a legal spot if the lot is full. If you can't make it there this month, we're going to continue to broadcast live from the library the last week of every month. So keep watching. Check out the website, atheist-community.org, for news. And the in-studio offerings are expanding in the near future. Very exciting. We are also looking for additional talented hosts in the area and crew members too, like the whole lot. If you have any of those skills, if you're interested in joining and helping out, then email us, tv@atheist-community.org. Exciting times. Let's take the next caller and then come on to the next bit. So we will talk to Prasad in India, who wants to discuss charity and religion, which is what Ben wanted to talk about. Prasad, what do you have?
Hi, Ben. Hello, Kitty.
Hi.
Okay, let's talk charity and religion. So my take is that I think charity is a good thing. And if it works, then how does it matter if religion does it? How does it matter? Like, anyone can do it. So if religion does it, I think that's good as well.
So my question, like, because I agree with you there, that if a religious group is doing a charity, and if that's all that they're doing, I would agree that that'd be fine. My particular question was about if they're only doing the charity so that they can force you to listen to their message, like a Christian group that goes to another country and says, I'm going to give you healthcare, but you have to listen to me talk about the Bible or we're not going to give you healthcare. That's what we're talking about. It's the people who their underlying motive is to convert you. And then the charity is just, well, we'll do this so we look like we're not just coming in to convert you. But I do agree that if there was a religious organization, which there are some that do this, where like if I had to choose between two different organizations, and you know, one was atheist and I don't know if they were doing rubbish. Something like, yeah, if they were being very mean, angry atheists that were trying to make everyone eat babies or something against their will, or I had a Christian group that was like they were Christian but they never tried to convince anybody of their views, like they didn't make it an evangelical mission, they just said, hey, I'm gonna go build homeless shelters and that's it, we're just gonna do it for the sake of doing something good, I would happily volunteer with that Christian group because they don't seem to have any ulterior motives, they're just doing something good. So in that case I agree that the religious group in that sense would probably be the one to go with.
Yep.
But it's that little caveat there of what is their motive.
Yeah, so I get that. So let's split in two pieces the charity. One would be just charity and one would be some ulterior motive. So shouldn't handling the ulterior motive be a job of the one who receives the charity? Because if someone's getting fed, then they're getting fed. If someone's getting a meal, then they're getting a meal. So shouldn't it be their job to think like what's good or what's not? So if someone's, maybe their ulterior motive is to spread religion, let's assume that. So now shouldn't, and they're trying to spread religion because they think it's good. Now, let's imagine if I get something. Shouldn't it be my job to think if what I get is actually good or not? Not just good for me, but for people around me as well. Not just people around me, like for everyone whosoever may impact me. My goal is to maximize my joy and my comfort. I think that's everyone's goal. So
I mean,
let's imagine.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think I know the point you're making is like it's your personal responsibility. Like because when I was a teenager, there was some Bible thing that was giving out free food, and I used to go to it. And the condition was you could come and have this free, nice hot cooked dinner as long as you listen to someone talk about the Bible for half an hour. And for me, that was a fair trade because at that point I was an atheist. Some of my friends were Christians and were going. I just ignored it all. I took, you know, personal responsibility of these things. And I think when you think about it to yourself, you think, oh, well, shouldn't just everyone just do that? Like, can't you just make up your own mind? And I think that's that's a good ideal way of looking at the world. But I think the reality is that lots of people do get suckered by stuff. And I think maybe a good comparison is for things like scams. I mean, there are lots of scams going on at the moment, especially like in the world of cryptocurrency and stuff, because there's not much regulation. And there are, you know, tried and tested scams, which are thousands of years old. And people are making millions of dollars, pounds, whatever, from scamming people. And you could say, well, I would never fall for that. I know these things are scams. I know what a Ponzi scheme looks like. So really, shouldn't it be the person's responsibility if they're going to invest in one of these things? But the issue is, we could say that, but we know that people get their lives ruined over this. And we know people are stupid. We know people believe these charismatic scammers. And it's the same with religion. And really, I want everyone to just have the freedom to do whatever. But if we have huge numbers of people ruining their lives and going bankrupt over a scam, then that's sad for me because it's ruining other people's lives. And I don't like seeing people having their lives ruined. But also, it's a structural problem that affects society and could come back to affect me. Because if I say, whatever, they've had their lives ruined, who cares? Then suddenly there might be hundreds or thousands of like homeless people suddenly on the streets because of this one scam that maybe if we had a regular regulation would have prevented it. And it's the same maybe with these religious motivations. I know that these indoctrination like exchanges for food or for clothes or whatever, they work. And the religions know they work, and that's why they do them. And that means people get won over to these religions. And that isn't necessarily, you know, bad. I'm not saying all religious people are bad or anything, but it then does bring in, you know, support for these religions. It gives them more political lobbying power, often brings in more money for them. It teaches people to believe authority who's handing them food over making their own mind up in a critical thinking way. And they're the issues I have with it. Do you agree with those?
Okay. Yep, partially. Actually, English is not my primary language, so I might have missed a few things, but I got two main points. So one is that isn't it responsibility of both the parties? Yes, it is. But if one party is irresponsible, then you can't, like, it doesn't remove the burden of, like, trying to understand stuff from the other party as well. So if one is being maybe apparently malicious, then the second party has to think as well. So one was that.
Right.
And the second thing was that, I don't remember it. There were two things.
Well, that's okay. Well, on the point you just made about both people's responsibilities, I do kind of agree that, especially when we talk about scammers, the people getting scammed is, you know, partially their responsibility to some degree, but is mainly the scammer's responsibility. And that's, you know, that's true. And in that case, it's both people's responsibility. In that case, someone is being malicious. And that's, it's easy to say, oh, well, they're bad. This is their problem. But in the case of some religion, people believe it's good when sometimes it is bad. Yep. And an example of
they think that they are doing good. So, like, they aren't being malicious. They think that they are being good.
Yeah. And they don't always know. And that's why sometimes you could say, oh, well, it's these people's responsibility. Well,
But religion is just a model.
Yeah.
And maybe there are parts of religion which are correct and which we have missed. Just could be a case.
Yeah. I think, like, that with moral stuff, I think that's the good example in this, is when you discuss the morals of it, because someone might genuinely believe they're doing the loving thing to force their child through conversion therapy, for example. And if that's the case,
they're trying to do their best.
But, you know, these people, they're not doing this out of hate. Some people do that out of hate, and some people do it out of love. And I can say it's not a loving thing to do. That's true. But it causes suffering. And that's kind of where it's, like, difficult. When we know something is bad, but the person doing it believes it's good, they have good intentions, but they're causing harm, then I just think that's different to causing harm. Sorry?
That's what you are convinced of. That's what you think, that this is actually bad. Now, I'm not sure.
Well, but this is why, though. But this is why we have these conversations on this show, and why we emphasize evidence, because with things like conversion therapy, we have evidence that it is bad. We have evidence that taking away healthcare from trans people is bad. We have evidence that treating people like unequals is does damage. So, like, yeah, it might be the best that somebody has at that time, but that's why this institution needs to be pushed back against, because we have the data that suggests what is true and what isn't. So, yeah, I mean, they are models, and there might be some truth to any of these models, but we have evidence to back up why those things are good or why those things aren't. So that's kind of where we're coming from here.
Yep, we've got bits and pieces of what's good and what's not. All we can do is make our best bet. So I'm not very well aware of what conversion therapy is, but let's imagine it. I'll assume that it's trying to convince you of something other than what you think that to be the case. Like, if I think I feel hot, then saying that I don't feel hot wouldn't help me much. But that's a start. So I'm not saying that it could be a good thing. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, that being, like, stubbornly against something wouldn't really help. Because let's imagine if there are 10 things and one is good. I think we should keep that one thing. Like, you can't say that all of those 10, 20, 15, let's imagine 99% of ideas were garbage. But if 1% is good, keep that 1%, discard rest of 99%.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that this is, I kind of mentioned this with the last caller, is I try and look at ideas and principles on their own and on their own merits. And, you know, sometimes it's very hard to separate them out. But if there's something in the Bible that's really good, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to do this because I don't believe in Christianity. I'm going to say, let's accept this on its own and evaluate it on its own. And if it's good, yeah, like you say, 1% of ideas maybe are good. And that's cool. Wherever they come from, whoever's saying them, I'm ready to evaluate them. And I do my best not to just dismiss things because of where they've come from or who said them. Obviously, there's some pattern matching going on there, and then we could do that another call for that. But I think, I think we're agreeing.
I think so too. I think we agree more than we disagree, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we circle back to charity? So I think that educating people would be better than trying to saying that charity is bad if they're bad intent.
So education is a brilliant example of where this gets difficult. If you're feeding people who are starving and you're giving them a sermon, it's hard for me to say you shouldn't do that because food, they need to live. Education can easily be indoctrination. And if you're turning up and creating schools in a place that didn't have schools, and then all you do is you teach your religion, and maybe you teach some maths and stuff, but what you're doing is, the main goal often for many of these places is to create more followers of their religion rather than to teach people math. And I think not only can we end up in a situation where a religion is indoctrinating a population, but it can, and you know, getting more followers, which I think is innately bad on its own, but they will end up inevitably teaching bad things. They will avoid teaching critical thinking. They'll avoid teaching questioning authority, and that kind of thing, which I think is an essential part of teaching someone to be a well-rounded person. I think that's where you can run into an issue. I think education is probably the best example of that.
So rather than teaching, I'd call it passing it on, because people make mistakes, they get swayed. That's okay. No one's perfect. People get swayed. That's okay. But the thing is, by education, I meant helping them exercise their brain. They'll bounce back. If they can think critically, then they will bounce back. If they can't, then sorry for that. I'm sorry for myself as well in that case, if I couldn't. But I'll try my best to bounce back. Shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think that it's just a reality that some people aren't good at critical thinking. And I think it'd be okay. It's kind of okay in one sense to just be like, oh, well, that's their problem. But in another sense, I want them to have a good life. And also, I don't want them to become a problem for me. So that's why I'm invested in other people's critical thinking ability.
Yep. I would want people around me to be smarter than me. Yeah, that would be brilliant.
Cursed to be the most intelligent in the room. I think this is it's been a good call, but perhaps we might move on to our last caller so we can fit him in the end of the show. But thanks, Prasad, that was a really good call. And it's a good discussion. I think there's a lot of moral gray areas in charity in general. Maybe the only reason you need charity is if the state has failed to provide for people. Who knows? So we have some amazing supporters of this channel. I mean, all of the supporters of this channel are amazing, but we have a top 5 patrons to reveal to everyone right now. Ben, would you like to do the honors this week?
I will do the top 5 patrons of the week. So we have Eric Tweet, Dingleberry Jackson, Ayame, Kalevi Helvetti, Devor Valian, and an honorable mention to Ted Dewin. I apologize if I butchered anybody's name, but very thankful for your patronage. You are helping out this channel grow and have content like this every week. So we appreciate all of you. And if you want to see your name on that list, you can go to the Patreon and see if you are one of the top 5 of the week next time.
Yay! Sorry, let's get one more caller in. I think we can talk to Evan in Colorado, who has been waiting for nearly 2 hours. Thank you very much, Evan. And you want to talk about the historicity entirety of the Bible?
Yeah, I just wanted to see, first, hi, Katie, hi, Ben. Hi. How are y'all?
Great.
Doing all right. How about you?
I just wanted to... Oh, great. Thank you. I just wanted to know where y'all stood on the, next level of debate, I guess after you get past the boring atheist content, which I find to be spicy. I liked all the calls. The spicy calls are fun. So I'm a little bit more boring, too. But I'm just kind of nerdy trying to dissect the debate. Is Jesus a historical figure in y'all's mind or not?
So I don't know the answer to that. And I hear this debate and people very, very adamant on either side of this, of why they think a way they do or they don't. Honestly, I don't know if Jesus was a real person. And for me, it doesn't really matter as much as a discussion point, because whether or not he existed as a person, he did not do what the Bible says that he did. I do not accept that he performed miracles. I do not accept that he resurrected from the dead. So if there was some carpenter dude named Jesus that had some friends in his 30s, which is, also a bit of a stretch, but if you have a dude named Jesus that had some friends and maybe was executed by the Roman government for something, whatever, I don't have any reason to hardcore disbelieve that or argue against it. It doesn't really make any difference for me. But I don't know what Katie thinks about it.
Yeah, I think my position is don't know, don't care, to be honest. I mean, kind of interesting, but I feel like there's more interesting parts of history. But yeah, I think that I can accept Jesus was real as a premise and still show that I don't need to care about it, and that Christianity is wrong.
So whether you end up on Dr. Bart Ehrman's campground or maybe perhaps Dr. Richard Carrier's campground is sort of just a distinction between Star Trek fans and something like that.
The reality is there is a truth that we could potentially learn about this. Jesus was either real or he wasn't, and either all of the stories about him were made up, or just some of them were, or maybe even none of them were. But if, we could potentially find that out. But that's also true about a lot of historical figures. And if you are a Bible nerd or you're an atheist nerd and you really like discussing, you really want to find out, you really want to get into the nitty-gritty details of Jesus and whether he's real or not, that's cool, do it. And if that's your interest, then find some people who also like doing that and drill down with them. I don't know if that's a bit of a weird saying. Drill down on the details with them. Maybe don't drill down on them unless you're that kind of... But I guess what I'm saying is that all I'm really interested in is this God real? And do I need to do something to go to heaven if it's real? And if Jesus, I'm convinced that the Christian God isn't real. I'm not convinced there's no God. But that's I feel like that's enough. And then whether Jesus is a real person or not doesn't really affect me. But it could be interesting. I've watched documentaries on it. I listened to some of the people you've referenced and others on YouTube and stuff talking about it. And they'll be like, oh, did you know that there's this piece of evidence which suggests this happened and this is generally accepted by the scientific community? And oh, that's cool, but I haven't committed it to memory, so it's not that super interesting.
Sure, fair enough. Well, that was pretty much all I had. One other question, and unless Ben wanted to say something about that.
I already kind of said my piece. This isn't really a debate that I partake in a lot.
Yeah, fair enough. What about
if you want to debate
the Bible in general, sort of? Yeah, well, just the Bible in general, sort of tying it back into was it Bernard's call, the way that history sort of lays down from the traditions, described in the Bible, how much do we take away? How much can we cross-reference in general with the Bible? And does that matter to either one of you?
So I didn't quite understand the question. What are you saying? The
just
traditions
sort of
in the Bible?
The Old Testament traditions, I guess that gets into, a lot of the sort of nastier stuff that happens in the Old Testament. I don't know if the historical relevance is brought up in some of the Exodus 21 context, talking about that and saying, well, it was a different time. And is it important to worry about
Yeah, so actually, I don't know if you've ever read Dr. Josh Bowen's Atheist Guide to the Old Testament, but he does a really good job breaking down the historical factors related to the Old Testament passages and how they were viewed at the time, and then compares them even to modern day slavery. And he has a way better discussion than I can give on that. So I would recommend reading those books. There's volume 1 and volume 2 that are very good if you haven't read them yet. Also, Richard Gilliver really wants you to call when he's on, because he really wants to have this discussion with you
on the 5th of February.
Oh, fair enough. Awesome.
On like the different time thing, I mean, it's one of these things that I guess I find interesting to look at from like a people perspective and be like, oh, you know, this is how this ancient culture lived, and this is what they believed was good and bad. And from that point of view, I find it quite interesting to a degree, but I'm not like a super history nerd on it. But as then suddenly when we get into religion and someone says, oh, it was a different time, I find that totally unacceptable, ridiculous argument, because the claim is, at least in Christianity, that their God is all moral and eternal, and it's just not possible for there to be a different time. Like, we know humans' understanding of morality changes over time. We know humans' concept of what is good and bad has changed over time, because whatever religion you are, you have to agree that's true, because most of the world isn't your religion. And we can look at most of, you know, everyone else, and we can see their idea of morality has changed over time, and other religions have changed what their morality is over time. But if you're making the claim that your God is like knows everything and it's teaching humans and saying what's good and bad, like God turned up in the Old Testament and gave a list of rules, you have to do this because it's moral, and you cannot do this because it is immoral, but then was just like, yeah, you can do slavery, whatever. Oh no, 2000 years later, things have changed. Oh yeah, it was a different time, guys. This is not acceptable from a all moral eternal God. The only options here are that it's all made up garbage by humans and they just change over society like every other single religion in the world, or the God isn't eternal and all moral and it changed over time, or objective morality changed over time and God like didn't have control over, like, it just nonsense. So I think, yeah, I don't really know if that was quite what you were asking.
Constants are changing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's a bad argument. I think really, if you want to be consistent, if you call in and you're going to say like, oh, I believe every word in the Bible, and then someone says, well, the Bible says slavery is good, do you agree? Well, you just got to say yes, haven't you? And then everyone's going to judge you. And the reason why the theists who call in don't want to say yeah is because they know it's bad and they don't want to be judged for it. And also they don't want to disagree with their God, and they don't. So it's difficult. But if they were just going to be honest about it, then they would just have to say, well, yeah, because I think everything that God says is good. So different times of bullshit. Just own it. But yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate both of y'all. And thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Evan. It's a good discussion topic. And yeah, definitely call in again on the 5th of February and talk to Richard about it, because it sounds like he is the Bible nerd that you have prayed for. So yeah, it will be a good discussion.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe even you'll convert to Christianity before then, and you can explain to him why it is true. But yeah, thanks very much for calling.
But I doubt it. Thank you.
God might reveal himself to you. Like, come on, it's possible. Apparently.
I'm waiting. Okay.
Yeah, and if he does, like, maybe let me know. But yeah, okay, cool. Thanks, Evan. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I think this is a good show. It's nice sometimes to have a theist that you can have a little discussion with, and you know, shows that we do have a community, even if that's identity politics, whatever the fuck that means. My identity is fuck off, and if you're not doing that, then you have a problem.
My identity is the God King of the ACA.
Well,
and trans Jesus.
Your identity has changed back to Student Dr. Ben, so
yeah. I have multiple. I guess I have five, because a Student Dr. Ben is part of this. What do you even call someone that's five gods in one?
But pentity? Wait, it's Trinity, isn't it? So would it be quadrinity and pentity? Pentagram, like my giant oversized pentagram earrings that you might not be able to see on. yeah, well, it's good to know that you have five identities, Ben. I hope that they get on. Yeah, so thanks everyone for watching the show. Just like to remind you, there are many ways to support the show so that this show can keep happening and we can keep talking to excellent callers who believe in circular reasoning or think that no one should have any, no one should fight for their own rights. And if you would like to support us, we have a fundraiser just below the chat. 100% of the profits go directly to us. You can like the video and you can subscribe to the channel, do the notifications, watch every single episode, even the ones I'm not on. You can become a member and then get some cool emoticons just below the video. You can support us on Patreon at tinycc.com/patreon.ta. You can come listen to all the podcasts at tiny.cc/AEN podcasts. And it has all the different shows there and it's all audio stuff and it's all cool. You can become part of the community. Come and argue with us or come and hang out. Come and organize with us so we can fight for our rights and our freedom from religious oppression. And you can do that at tiny.cc/FBTHG. Or you can send us an email or you can come over to the FanRun Discord server at tiny.cc/ACA Discord. You can just be part of the community in the comments. The live chat is just always great. Like there's loads of constantly, I'm watching it in the corner of my eyes, loads of live chat stuff going on. Shout out to the chat. It's another good place to be part of the community. Get some buzz. Also the comments section afterwards. It's fun to do comments sometimes when you get in a big long argument on YouTube. YouTube's a great place to argue. You can watch the flagship show of the ACA, The Nonprofits, which will be at 3 p.m. Central today, tiny.cc/YTNP. So yeah, thank you everyone. Thanks for supporting us on the channel. I really enjoy doing this show. I don't mind sometimes when Ben is here. Ben, have you had a good time?
I've had a good time, even though it was with Katie. And
you always have a good time with me. Oh, wait.
I don't know. I like to be the supreme trans person in the room, and I feel like I have competition when we're on together, so I don't know.
So who do you think's the most supreme? Please do a hashtag Team Katie in the comments.
Oh, we're starting this now. We're starting this now on Talk Even.
Bringing it over actually, to other shows.
It's now. Hashtag Team God King. That's the correct answer.
Yeah, so whether you believe in the Emperor God King Ben student doctor,
Taco Heathen Trans Jesus Crab Rangoon King,
yeah, whether you believe in him or not, just like, you know, thanks for watching. And if you do believe in the Emperor God King, then I guess this is your community. But also if you don't believe, if you're an atheist of Emperor God King Ben, then this is also your community. You know, this is community for everyone. But if you do believe in a different religion, we don't hate you.
We're just not convinced.
We want the truth, so watch Truth Wanted live Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTW and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTW.